Ladies and gentlemen,
can I touch you at all?
It is great to be here. Dear, dear listeners, welcome to Barely Touch Him. And dear listener, the world's gone mad. Drake is a pedophile. Mm. Israel is an apartheid state.
Yes.
Nick Dacos is the greatest player in AFL VFL history. Welcome to the Barely Touched Him podcast. We are here for episode 44. If I've done my maths correctly.
A palindromic number.
A palindromic number. Beautiful, symmetrical energies.
We haven't had one of those since 22.
Or 33, rather.
33 as well, yeah.
Yes, yes. Welcome to Barely Touched Him, the podcast where the foot is made up and the balls don't matter. What a week for football, Corey.
That's quite good.
I am Ben Reid, joined by my co-host, Corey. How's your week been, mate?
Not bad, not bad. Been recovering from the back issue.
Yes.
Have started climbing again, which is good.
Rock climbing, you mean?
Yep,
so, yeah,
yep.
You are now... you've reached the stereotypical man in his 30s part of your life where you've got to pick golf.
Well, I'd already played golf.
You've done that. You've got to pick golf, brewing your own beer.
I won't do that.
Being a Reddit incel or rock climbing. And
I've got three of the four.
Yeah, you've nearly got there. So when you get into your 40s, you're going to start posting Elon Musk stuff.
Well, I've started climbing again. It feels good. Back's good. Shoulder's good. All coming along nicely.
Excellent.
And it's been a big week of football.
Yeah, been a huge week of football. I went to the Eagles game, which we will get into in the results and all the votes, not to spoil anything. But there's been something that's been on my mind for I think about a year now, where I've had this rant in the chamber about not the Eagles, but it's a part of the football experience when I go to see the Eagles. Because it's a beautiful city that we live in Perth. We're blessed to have Optus Stadium. We're blessed to have the Muttergarup Bridge across the beautiful Derby Yerrigan, the Swan River. This is my doing the Welcome to Country here.
I'm impressed that you knew the name there.
Well, I work a lot of corporate events, so I have to listen to a lot of Welcome to Countries. I get to. They're a privilege, every one of them. And there's a bit of this walk down the Muttergarup Bridge, the beautiful Muttergarup Bridge, that sours the whole experience of going to Optus. And it's been this way for, I want to say, a year and a half, maybe more. As you picture this, you're going to the footy. I'm going there with Nadia, my lovely partner Nadia.
Yes.
We're walking down the bridge. It's a beautiful day. There's football fans there. The sun's out. It's a mild Perth day.
It's a great vibe when you're walking across that bridge.
It's not too hot in the winter.
Love that.
It's football weather. The sun's out. There's a crisp breeze. You've got your scarf. You know, you're about to go.
The Camfield's pumping.
You
can see it.
You can feel the tension in the air, the beautiful tension. And then what do I have to fucking be subjected to?
Oh, no. I know what it's going to be.
Bridge.
It's Palestinians,
isn't
it?
No, it's not the Palestinians. It's the Ukrainians.
The Ukrainians are still there.
If you're not in Perth and you haven't done this fucking walk across the Muttergarup Bridge, you haven't been subjected to these Ukrainians, please support Ukraine, charity scalpers, who, by the way, there's no company listed. I'm pretty sure I've looked. I try to, I never give them money. I'm going to walk across to the right and not make any eye contact. But there's about 12 of them. There are some children. There are some adults. And they're chanting in awkwardly arrhythmic, atonal fashion going, please support Ukraine. Cash your card. And so they're shaking the tins.
There's no sign of where this money is actually going.
There's no sign. Not that I have seen.
You're left to assume that
it's getting
Ukraine.
To Ukraine. Now,
well, I'd like to see the numbers too.
I would have permissed this 6 months after the war. 6 months after the invasion. Of course, we are not condoning Putin saying we don't like the Ukraine charity people.
Of course not.
Of course not. Russia's a capitalist oligarchy. But we're talking about 2 years. They have been there. Every Eagles home game because, look, the Ukraine flag's the same colour as the West Coast Eagles fan. Do you take me for a fool? Do you know how much money Western governments have given Ukraine since the start of this conflict? Have a guess at the billions, Corey.
Hundreds of billions.
You're close.
I think we just committed another $8 billion.
After a quick Google, I found out, accumulatively, the estimate across all countries' governments giving aid to the Ukraine is $380 billion.
That's insane.
And that's a conservative estimate.
That's insane. So,
I'm just going to pay past your $50. That's going to do a whole bunch.
So your 10, 20, 50 bucks pay past on the Muttergarup
Bridge.
That's not gonna. That's nothing.
You're going straight to BWS with that money. I honestly, I'm sick of it. Give it a rest. If the Palestine people were there, I'd be tapping the pay pass. Yeah, I'd be tapping the pay pass.
Look, I would have thought that the Palestinian thing would have overtaken the Ukraine in relevance.
I don't know if they pay rent for the spot or if they just get there like a busker and it's their turf.
Yeah.
But there's treachery afoot, Corey. I'm not.
How about we go there and sit up next to them with Russian flags? So, no, Russia. Don't pay to Russia.
That's very spicy. I think that might be a bridge too far, pun intended. Pun intended.
Very well done.
Either way,
well done.
That's my rant of the week. The Ukraine people, please do something else with your weekends.
Yeah.
Our $50 is not going to make difference.
They must get bored.
The trench. They look bored. Their heart's not in it. After 2 years, their heart's not in it anymore.
God, Jesus
anyway,
Christ.
Football. We're a football podcast. What's the football news you've got, Corey?
The big story, or the first story that we'll touch on, is violence against women.
Yes.
So all of the teams pre-game stood arm in arm in a circle, and the center of the game to take a stand against violence against women. I thought it was good.
I agree. I actually thought it was done quite tastefully.
There was a lot of knuckle draggers in various comment sections saying, "Oh, why do we always have to have this stuff jammed down our throats?" And so, well, mate, the reason is because it fucking works.
Yeah.
Okay, so just fucking put up with it. Millions of people are watching this, and these are the idols to a lot of young people. So if they are outwardly saying something, that's good.
Yeah.
So
you've nailed that. You've nailed that.
Even women and feminists and stuff, we're getting uppity about it, saying, "Oh, a bunch of men standing around doing nothing." So, well, they are doing something, aren't they?
Yeah. There's millions. Like you said, there is millions of eyes on this. Yeah. AFL players are role models to children.
It's the reason that LGBTQ rights are so accepted now. I mean, it's the exact reason why a king hit is now called a coward's punch, because of this type of stand by sports people and the sports media.
And it's always the people who are saying, "Oh, you got to keep the bloody sports out of politics, mate. The politics out of sport. I don't want to be fucking saying this."
They're the people that need it the most.
They're the people that they hate politics in sports when it's not their politics.
Yep.
If a player came out and said something bigoted, they would be, "Oh, this he's just saying what we all think."
And I thought
he's
it
just
was
saying
a,
what we all think.
I'm not sure if you saw it, but I thought it was a very classy move. That I'm not sure if it was all the coaches, but at least 2/3 of the coaches before the presses started post game said, "Before we take any questions, I'm just going to make a bit of a statement." And they all had their own spin on the issue. I thought Craig McRae's was the best, naturally. But, yeah, I'm not sure if it was all the coaches. I thought that was a nice touch.
I agree. I thought it was there's always the risk of this sort of political statement. I mean, I hate to say it's political because violence against women shouldn't be political.
It shouldn't be political. No.
But you know what I mean. Like this, a popular cause sort of statement seeming shallow or forced or something. I don't think it felt that way.
I thought it felt really, and
being there at Optus Stadium where they had the moment of silence and the everyone was very respectful. We all stood up.
Some of the other ones in the past have seemed a bit forced. Like
they did one for 9/11.
Did they really?
I posted a TikTok about it. I did a TikTok. They had a moment of silence.
Holy shit.
They had a moment of silence for 9/11, for the game after 9/11, which was the first semi-final between Richmond and Carlton. And then someone yells out during the minute silence, "Go the Tigers!"
Hell yeah, dude.
And then that starts a chain reaction with another supporter who goes, "Yeah, go to talk."
Come on.
It's just
I love that
champagne.
Shit.
This would have been very inappropriate to do this here.
Piggybacking off the violence against women tangent, it's been announced that Ben Cousins won't be a part of the Football Hall of Fame's class of 24.
This is not
a shocker to me.
I'm not 100% up to date on what Ben Cousins did with violence against women.
Well, I've got some excerpts from the court case if you'd like to hear.
Go for it, Corey. Give me the spice.
So the court previously heard that on one occasion, Cousins sat in a car with his ex-wife holding a screwdriver and said, "I can't wait to use it." He later allegedly threatened, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life and your freedom and the things you love the most." He then threatened to bury her in a car where she would survive for a couple of days. Then he would bring his kids to play so she would hear them but not be able to get to them.
Okay, that's...
Probably a good decision by the AFL to say no.
Yeah, that's probably a fair decision. That's fucked.
It's pretty fucked.
That is pretty fucked.
People forget.
I did not know this. That's the first... You're telling me now for the first time.
he was brought up on charges multiple times for stalking and violence against his ex-partner, slash S. I think it was... Multiple partners.
He's on Dancing with the Stars now, that is a clean slate.
There did seem there was a minor push in the media in the past month or so for him to be inducted. Stories started popping out. Like, who's reporting these stories? It's just you guys. It's just Channel 7. Like, that's who wants him in.
Well, also the New South Wales, I think it was. Was it the New South
it
Wales
was
or South
New
Australia?
South Wales,
Wayne Carey getting into their Hall of Fame.
So they fucking should.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they should.
So, yeah.
I'm all for redemption. I'm very glad that he's a happy... Reformed, inverted commas.
And he does seem to be doing well.
He does seem to be doing well, but that doesn't mean that you should be granted such an honour.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that that's not fucked.
Yeah, like, it's completely fucked.
Yeah, and also, if you want to go further back, Gary Ablett Sr.
There's a whole lot you need to do. Just Google
Gary Ablett Sr. woman controversy and see what pops up, ladies and gentlemen. Spoiler alert, it's a bit fucked. Have you got anything else for the footy news,
I do. Holding the ball, Ben. Holding the ball.
I'm a big fan.
Does it exist?
Has it
gone out the window?
I feel like Robbo here. Like, it's tough. What is a ball, Jared? I don't know, Jared. Like, you tell me what a disposal is. You tell me what a disposal is.
Well, look, the talking heads have been hot this week. Old ones, young ones, everyone's been up in arms about what the interpretation is. And where that interpretation's come from, what the directive is, because it does seem a little bit that unless it's a rundown tackle, especially the last couple of games, you are not going to get paid.
Well, this is because, and I was thinking about this today, actually, because I was listening to Sport FM, local sporting station, 91.3 in WA, community sport radio. Would recommend listening. They do good stuff. But this came up, like, what the holding the ball debate. And... not to get too Marxist dialectical materialist with it, but the AFL rules are inherently contradictory.
Yes.
They call it a grey area, but grey area is putting it very lightly. Like, the idea that you need to take possession of the ball and that should be your first priority as a player coming into a pack, yet you're inclined, your material interest... you should not want to take possession of the ball because you're going to be immediately tackled and then you will be penalised for that. So you're constantly in a flux of, well, I want to get possession of the ball, but I don't want to give away a free kick. And then these two things cannot coexist with each other. Yeah. And the umpires are just having to figure this out.
Yeah,
There's no answer.
The problem is that the directives change week to week. I think it should be. This is what come into the. They do a review at the end of every year. Do your review, let the off season kind of simmer, and then before you start the year, say, all right, this year, the whole year, all of the umpires. This is the direction that we're pushing. So that it's clear.
It won't, I get the premise of that, but it won't last.
No.
Like, where you can do that all you want, but every game is different. Every combination of umpire is different, and you're going to get different interpretations of the rule based on the context of the game. If it's a slow game, you're going to get, less prior opportunity, etc. They're going to adjudicate it differently in finals than they are to main games. They're going to adjudicate it differently in the last 5 minutes of a game in a close one
than they are
in the first, three minutes of the game.
Put the whistles away.
And I agree. You should put the whistles away. These people who are like, it should be the same all the time. You don't get... the subtleties of umpiring and this sport.
It's nuanced, if you will.
It's nuanced. The reason AFL is so good is because it makes all sense. Like, it's a chaotic game. You trust the umpire
there is
to
a bit
make
of a,
the right call. And I think often they do. Yeah. Often they do.
There is a bit of pride when you see a filthy Seppo enjoying a game and they're like, oh, I have no idea what's going on. Yeah. You have a chuckle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Neither do we. Yeah, neither do we, mate. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I've got one in the football news department.
Yeah, shoot it.
Friend of the pod, he's not really. He just doesn't know it yet. Sam Draper has gone
on. Oh, yes, I had this written down as well. This is fantastic.
I actually have not heard the quote directly.
I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, so he was doing some sort of like impression of a journo, wasn't he?
I wouldn't call it an impression. It was kind of a if it was an impression, he wasn't making that obvious. It was more of a, like, you know, what's your hot takes type thing.
Okay,
it sounded pretty genuine to me. And the way he said
Bevo was still at the Dogs next year, would leave.
He said his take is that, yeah, if Bevo, and this is verbatim, if Bevo is still there next year, there will be players walking.
So amazing to hear that from a player. Yes. Like, I love that.
Now, there's a bit of an uproar. I mean, Brad Scott.
One of them. Yeah. And Brad Scott is the coach of Essendon.
Yes.
Less hot Scott.
Yes.
Because Chris Scott,
the nerdier one,
is a bit of a silver fox. Yes, let's be real.
He immediately came out and decried it. Said very disrespectful, whatnot, which I agree with. At first I thought, let him say whatever the fuck he wants. But upon pondering, it is a bit fucked because Draper clearly is friends with people from the Bulldogs. What people don't realise, even with rivalries and teams and whatnot, a lot of these guys play together when they are younger. They have friends at other teams. It's a community. So he knows people at the Bulldogs. His management will know who he is friends with. The coaching staff at Essendon, the coaching staff at the Bulldogs will know who Draper is friends with. So he's really outing his mates.
Yeah.
For if it is true.
It is a bit of a dog act.
It's a bit of a dog act.
Yeah, I would put it that way.
I would prefer if it wasn't true, there wouldn't be such an uproar about it.
Yeah.
And it's only
because
lending more
credence to it. Because it's a believable statement, you know. I was actually amazed that Jamara Ugle-Hagan re-signed. Another bit of football news.
I was discussing with you in a group chat just yesterday about Jamara, and I was shocked to find that he had re-signed.
He re-signed.
That is crazy to me.
I couldn't bloody believe it.
Wow.
What else have you got for football news, Corey?
We do love the Bird teams, the Bird Alliance.
Bird Alliance,
we are a big fan of the Bird Alliance. Now, all of the Bird teams won this weekend, except for the Eagles, who went down to the Plains. Now,
they fought valiantly.
There has been some discourse on the internet as to whether Essendon qualifies as a Bird team because they're the Metal Birds.
Oh,
and I wanted to get your opinion on that.
I'm of the opinion they're bird adjacent.
Yeah, so I can live with bird
they
adjacent.
They are like the cousin of the birds.
Yes.
They're closer to a bird than a sun or a giant or, you know, a docker. I wonder where you could have humanoid alliance. So, like, you know, a docker is a person. That's a dock worker. A demon is a humanoid.
A
giant is a humanoid. Like, it's just a big person. What else is a human-shaped thing? Like, what, are there any...
The blues is just a blue man.
Blue's just a blue man, but it's hard. Yeah. You know, we don't know.
I remember being a kid and seeing the Blues mascot for the first time and being very confused. Like,
the saint's a human.
It's just a blue guy.
A saint is a human thing.
Yes.
You know,
human adjacent.
St. Nicholas, you know, St. Peter. I've got one. It's less news and more of like a little update on where we are. We are officially a third of the way through the AFL season.
Scary.
And I thought we could tune in or just check in on the statistical leaders across every stat category. Every team's played 8 games now.
Big fan of this.
Now,
big fan.
I've got the top 7. I've taken screenshots of the top 7 in every respective stat that I think matters.
See if I can guess some of them.
So, disposals. Who's leading the league in disposals? Total disposals, not average.
Total disposals. Caleb's wrong.
He is. He's on 266.
Yep.
We've got a tie for second and third. Adam Treloar and Harry Sheasel on 251.
Treloar is surprising to me.
He's been very sneaky about it because you always think Bont, you think Libba, you think all that. Treloar has
consistent.
Been having a very good season.
Yep.
Nick Martin on 250 in number 4.
Yeah, don't mind
Zach
that.
Merritt, number 5 on 243. Lockie Whitfield, number 6 on 240, and Nick Dacos, number 7 on 238.
Not bad.
Now we go into contested marks.
Contested
Who
marks.
Who do you think is winning contested marks?
Contested marks. Well,
I'll give you a hint. The number at the top is 26.
Last year I would have said Darcy Moore. I don't know.
There is only, in the top seven, there is only one defender in the top seven. The rest are key forwards.
Wow. Oh, so it's not even going to be like Lever or anything
no,
like
no.
that.
No, contested marks.
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry. I thought you said intercept marks.
No, contested marks.
Okay. Well, maybe Jazzy Cameron.
No, he's not in the top seven.
Wow.
Harry Mackay, number one. Okay, with 26. Yep. Kerno second with 22. Harris Andrews, sorry, there's two defenders in here. Harris Andrews third on 20. Then
wow.
Charlie Dixon on 19.
Wow.
Jake the Snake Waterman
oh, good.
On 18. Sam Taylor, another defender. And he's missed games as well with concussion on 17.
He would be higher.
Jamara Ugle-Hagen on 16.
Yeah, not bad.
Next up, we've got goals, the common medal tally. Everyone's aware with this. Charlie Kerno sits at number one on 25. Jesse Hogan and Jake Waterman tied on 24. Waterman is second in the common medal.
Shit.
Harry Mackay and Ben King tied on 22.
I'm gonna put some money on him.
Bailey Fritch on 21 and Kyle Langford from the Plains on 20.
Don't mind that. Don't mind
score involvements. Isaac Heaney's number one.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I beat you there.
I probably would have said
Heaney. Score involvements, a bit of a. Yeah, I won't really go into that.
Yep.
Goal assists.
Oh, I was just looking at this yesterday. The new goal assist king. It's not Grian Meyers.
It's not. He's sixth.
Oh, fuck. Who is it?
Grian Meyers is sixth.
I was
sixth.
Looking at it yesterday.
And there is a distinctive gap with who is
Can
number one.
Can you tell
one.
Me what team he's from?
Melbourne.
Fuck.
It
oh,
is
God. Now tell me.
Molto bene. It's Christian Petrarca. Yes,
that.
The TikTok cooking
knew
king.
That.
So now if we're going to go like right now, we gave our predictions before the season.
Yeah.
Who are you taking for the flag? Who are you taking for the premiership right now?
Well, after that Collingwood Blues game, I'm going with the Pies.
All right. Well, you're still sticking with the Pies. That was your preseason prediction.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I've got us top four, but I don't have us there. You know who I'm going with a Smoky for the premiership right now?
Who?
I'm going Melbourne.
Okay.
I can see that. Before the season, I said Sydney was my roughie, and I still think they're like right up there.
I'm still even with their victory over GWS, I think Sydney's going to have a reckoning.
I think Sydney are really good, but Melbourne to me have I think come September they're going to be the best team. They're
like
going to be the best team
like
in the league. Brownlow right now, as of right now,
Zach Merritt.
Me too. I'm also Zach Merritt
for sure.
He's going to have so many 3-vote games. Also. Coleman, if you want to make a play
Jake
out of him here. Jake the Snake
Jake
Waterman.
The Snake.
I'm going Jesse Hogan. I think Hogs is going to do it.
I like a race between Hogan and Jake the Snake, for sure.
Ninth. Who's going to finish ninth on the ladder?
Well, I was hoping to be Richmond, but they're more likely to finish 17th at this point.
I think that ninth on the ladder.
It's probably going to be the Suns. They'll just miss out.
I think the Suns could finish ninth.
It'll
it's
be Suns
hard.
Or the Plains.
Suns or Dogs, I think. Suns or Dogs will finish ninth.
I think
ninth.
The Dogs do pretty well to finish ninth.
Yeah, that's very true. Should we get into the results?
I've got a couple
item.
Of short little ones.
Go
Todd
on.
Goldstein, the absolute legend, has become the first ruckman to hit 10,000 hit outs.
Oh, the 10K. Yes, of course.
And
yes.
This is an amazing stat because it's not even really close. The top five is Todd Goldstein, 10,002. Aaron Sandilands, retired obviously.
He played a long time.
8,500.
Yeah.
So there's a big gap
That's
there.
That's huge.
And then another big gap down to Max Gawn on 6,958. Gawn's arguably got a lot more football left in him than Goldstein does. So perhaps he surpasses Sandilands.
He might get two. Yeah, he might get two.
Sam Jacobs, 6,786.
Oh, Jacobs! Oh.
And Dean Cox, 6,628.
Yeah.
So massive.
Jacobs is the surprising one there.
Absolutely huge from Goldstein here. And just before we do get into the games, I've got a Ben-related stat for you.
What?
I've got a Ben-related stat.
Yeah, go on.
Throughout VFL, AFL history, there have been 77 players named Ben and 77 players named Len. Who have collectively played nearly 10,000 games. However, never once have players named Ben and Len teamed up for the same day for the same team.
Whoa.
However, there have been games where a Ben played against a Len. This most recently happened in 1938 when Len Thomas of South Melbourne played against Ben Whittam for North Melbourne.
Good Lord.
Very good.
I've got a
fun. Thank our useless AFL stats.
I've got one from the Facebook page, VFL Footy in the 1980s. Here is an amazing stat that's been brought to our attention. Melbourne had more points for, so total points scored in a season,
yes,
in 1978 when it finished last, than it did in 2021 when it won the premiership.
Oh, I like that.
So
that is interesting.
The total in 2021 points for, they had 1,888, very good number.
Mm.
And total in 1978, they were bottom of the ladder, 12th, 2,025. How's that?
I love that.
How's that for the progression of defense?
So this week we will get into the games. Obviously, the Crows won the showdown.
They did.
Very interesting. At training yesterday, they had a big portable television screen next to the ground playing highlights of the showdown while they trained.
Yeah, wicked.
I like that.
And that's giving, that's giving money to the local economy by hiring the AV guys to set the screen up. You know, like that's supporting the events industry.
Now, Ben, do you remember a fella named Adam White?
No,
he played for Carlton from 1995 to I think about 2001. He only only managed 44 games.
That's what I remember.
Bit of a journeyman there.
Yes,
few injuries and whatnot. He has gone on to a rather bizarre second career.
What could it be?
He has just produced and starred in the world's hottest horror film.
Define hottest.
The most popular, most buzzworthy horror film.
Oh, I thought you meant like a porno. Okay, all right. Okay, yeah, yeah. So what's the film? I like horror.
It's called Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, I've seen the trailer for this.
Yes. So an ex-football player has produced and starred in this movie.
So who does he play in the movie?
The Big Owl.
The Big Owl.
The Big Owl.
Oh, the big... So he's in an owl costume.
He's in an owl costume. He's not one of the actual characters.
Okay, so he doesn't get a line or anything.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he does. But
so he's a movie producer.
Yeah, so apparently after football finished, he went to TAFE to study animation, got an internship, ended up as an editor on Thank God You're Here, the comedy skit program.
What a show.
And then from there ended up just networking and teamed up with some guys. But, yeah, very interesting story. And even the great Stephen King has gotten on board with this film, saying it's amazing. So if you're getting praise from Stephen King, you've got to be doing something right.
I am a huge Stephen King fan.
As am I.
If he's endorsed it. Let's be real. Stephen King, will, at his age, endorse fucking anything you pay him to endorse now. But I do want to watch this film.
Yeah,
I've seen the trailer for it. It looks very cool.
There's a great quote here from one of his co-producers. It says, as an ex-athlete turned independent filmmaker, Adam has two good reasons to be a self-important wanker. But nothing could be further from the truth. He's the most self-deprecating, hardworking person you'll ever meet, which is great because it gives us the space we need to be self-important wankers.
Very cool.
Love that.
Very, very cool.
So good on him, and I will definitely be checking out that
movie. Yeah, the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, that's a great concept. I like it a lot. So we get into the results of the football.
Let's get into it,
Let's
Ben.
Do it. What a week of football it was.
It was a big one. We started on Thursday night.
It was Thursday.
It was the showdown. The Crom demolished Port Adelaide 78-48. What were your thoughts?
This was a stinky poo-poo game.
It was a smelly poo-poo game. I've got that written down here.
Did not like it.
I did not like it at all.
Good on Jake Soligo for winning the medal. That's Nadia's boy. He's now very close to becoming a man.
I love that for him. Love that for her
also. Yeah, very good.
Port Adelaide, 5 goals, 18 behinds. Just very stinky.
Absolutely atrocious.
Very, I thought very stinky behavior.
This was poor coaching from Ken. What else is new?
Yeah, and he seemed to get picked apart pretty easy. I was watching The Messiah, David King, on First Crack, where they were showing some behind-the-goals footage, and all it took was just pushing Port wide. That's it.
Yep. All of their forward 50 entries were shallow. They were inconsequential. So you can look at that score if you didn't watch the game and go, oh, Port lost it themselves. If they just kicked straight, they would have won.
No.
The reason they kick so many behinds is because their forward 50 and attacking play – was all from shit spots and they were all pushed
wide. Some other highlights of this, Tex kicking an unbelievable goal off a step from 55, he's nearly on the boundary. He's got fucking unreal.
He's got a cannon strapped to his thigh, doesn't he?
The other one was BT in the middle of the game referring to Jason Horne Francis as the horny one, which is taken off on social media. As to people,
where did this come from?
Stuff.
Where did this come from?
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
It's very bizarre. In any case, the next game was an absolute banger.
Oh my god, this was a banger!
Let me try and not
believe the scenes.
There it is. Carlton defeated by the Collingwood Football Club, 79-85.
Go the Pies!
Absolutely unreal game.
I was actually working at the time of this game, so I was operating a gig as a live sound engineer, which is my real job. I had a bit of downtime before the gig started, so I saw the first half on my phone, was watching it right into it. Great game. And I couldn't watch the second half until I had a bit of a break, turned the phone on again. There's 5 minutes to go in the last quarter. We were down.
Unreal.
It was the lead-up passage to one Nick Dacos, our
Whisper
Lord
Nicky.
And Saviour, whatever the June thing is, Nassamba Gayib, whatever they call him. He's Timothy Chalamet. He is the Messiah. He bursts through with pace, with such pace from the pack, such skill to take the ball, such accuracy and know-how to kick this snap and win the game.
Unreal.
I could not. I was out of my skin.
I was losing it. It was fucking fantastic. I went to a gig and watched half of the game. Watched the first quarter at home, second quarter in the car, and the second half at the gig.
Yes.
On my phone, the earbuds in. People were coming up to me. G'day. Why don't you just watch the game later? Why don't you just fuck off?
Yeah.
How about that?
Why don't you get off my fucking case?
How about
I don't know you, all right?
Oh, I did know them. They're my friends.
How about don't talk to me right now, friend? If you were a real friend, you'd let me have this. Now fuck off.
I was just chilling at the back, wasn't harming anyone. Like, mate, I'll be with you in 20 minutes, all right?
Just fucking ease up.
But it was amazing. As you said, Whisper Nicky popping through. He was incredible all game.
His
speed through the contest, able to sidestep 2, 3, 4 players at once and get goals. And, you know, this is what we're seeing out of Sydney is midfielders that can reliably kick goals, of which they have 3 or 4 of them. Nick Dacos being able to do it is just amazing. Also for this game, we had, Wietering. Wietering got absolutely worked. And I think that was the big ticket to the Pies win. And I think more teams will be doing that. Oh, big old Mason Cox just diving on him.
Yeah.
When he's already on the ground, diving on him, letting the team set up.
The thing I've liked about Collingwood, this is actually a bit of a holdover from the Buckley days, is versatility that we've got with our forwards. We don't we've got a lot of different avenues, not only to kick goals from, but to apply pressure on opposing defenders, whether it's talls or smalls. You know, now we can throw Frampton up there and have a fucking go on Harris Andrews. We've got Bobby Hill. We've got Lockie Schultz. We've got Brody Meierczyk. Hoskin Elliott can go up there and do some things. Jamie Elliott. Like, it's never never a consistent six, and you're always thinking it would be a nightmare to play on
as a back six.
This
is the modern game. If you're not versatile and you can't adapt not just players to different positions but game style, you're dead in the water.
Well, there was an article I read about a week or two ago by Rowan Connolly. He writes for a bunch of different publications, been a journo for a while, about the shift, about the almost diametrical shift after the turn of the century, but sort of it crystallised with Damien Hardwick and Richmond.
Yep.
Half forwards are now half backs, and half backs are now half forwards, because as a half forward, your job is not to attack. Your job is to apply pressure and tackle and defend the front half of the ground. And as a half back now, your job isn't to defend. Your job is to rebound. And attack off the other end of the ground and counterpunch and run and carry the football.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pies have encapsulated that mentality so well, and it's very clear that McRae was an assistant coach under Hardwick, because that's what Richmond did during 100%. The dynasty there.
An interesting stat line from this game was the clearance battle between Carlton and the Pies. The clearances were 40 to 44, But the points scored from clearance were 22 to 44. So that's essentially where the game was won, like from the clearance, which is, really good to see.
And what was Nick Daicos' last goal? Straight from a stoppage clearance. Yep. That's all you need to know, ladies and gentlemen.
Bit of injury woes. Checkers out. Mitchell out with appendicitis. And Degoe one more week with the groin, I believe it was.
You've got to play Finn McRae. I don't understand why we're not playing him. Yes, I liked that Lachie Sullivan got a game and, you know, Harvey Harrison's getting games, but Finn McRae's going to leave if he doesn't get a game consistently more soon. And I would not blame him at all for that. Should we go on to the next game?
Next game was the Sydney Swans defeating the GWS Giants 98-69 in
the Battle of the Bridge.
The Sydney Derby, which is odd for it to be the Sydney Derby, considering one team's from South Melbourne and one's from Canberra.
Yeah, that's true. Well, also, like, Western Sydney is, it's a whole other kettle of fish, really, to everywhere else in Australia. they've got Eshays over there.
I think they invented Eshays.
I think they did invent Eshays. Interesting that they don't have any Lebanese players on the Giants. You'd think that would be a treasure trove. They're all in the NRL. But 98-69 was a big win for Sydney.
It was huge.
And well done in wet conditions to score 100 points as well. It was pissing down in the second half.
I only caught the very start of this game and I was very confused. I was checking stats and scores towards the latter half and I was very confused as to what the fuck was going on.
No one could take clean possession of the ball.
Because it was apparently very greasy.
And I did say this when we were doing tips. But it's the reason I tipped the Giants incorrectly, because I think it's going to piss down with rain.
Yep.
And I think that's going to disrupt Sydney's kicking game. They like to maintain possession and chip. They proved me wrong here. They can play wet weather, dirty, sloppy football, really slopping it around in there.
Slimy, gobby stuff
down there.
Who doesn't love that?
But, so many standouts for Sydney. Just a really good team performance.
Yeah, Heaney again. Goulden
as well. Goulden was great in wet weather. Next up.
Next one, the game to forget. St Kilda defeated North Melbourne 103-65. I mean,
Why do these teams exist?
Slightly more competitive from North, I guess you could say.
It's still very stinky poo-poo game.
Some of their players looking slightly better, but aside from that, I think we should just move on.
Move on.
The next game was
Melbourne Geelong.
Melbourne defeating the Geelong Cats 74-60.
Entertaining contest. Very entertaining contest.
Yes, and this was a good one. Defensive masterclass I've got written down here.
That's what we expect from the D's. Yeah. They are a defensive masterclass sort of team.
It was actually unbelievable seeing them. It was either last week or the week before. I said, "What will it take to stop that insane Cats counterpunch?" And all it took
was defense,
slowing it down when you have it, and then defending, setting up defensively very well, and they just set up a shell.
Melbourne. And they've done this for years now. They've done this, since I reckon about 2019, 2020. Goodwin is probably the best defensive coach in the game in regards to the whole team keeping their shape in the zone. Everyone is so drilled in when the opposition has it. And even when, like you said, when Melbourne have the ball, they will move it slow in order to keep their zone in place and set their defense up.
So in case they lose it, they're set up.
And Geelong, like, it's a perfect counter to them because they want to move the ball down the corridor. They want to move it with pace down the corridor. Handball, handball, bang, run. There's bodies there. They're clogging up that center square. And it was just perfect. Also, Bailey Fritch's goal, the dribbler. That is a contender for goal of the year. Yep. Absolutely loved it. And, yeah, just a great – they're now my tip for the flag, Melbourne.
The Cats and the Giants were both really the ones to beat, and they've both lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting
stuff.
They're
up there for me.
The next game, this was an absolute cracker.
We did tip it for game of the round.
If it wasn't for the Pies-Carlton game, this would be game of the round for sure.
And we just knew it. Just knew when you saw the Eagles and the Planes.
Lining
up at prime time at Optus.
At Optus Stadium, the Eagles have gone down by a single goal. 71-77. Absolute cracker.
I loved this game. Obviously, I was biased because I was there live, but it took a little bit to get going.
Yep.
Dons were kicking away early, and I was like, oh, shit, is this just going to be a blowout? Like, Eagles took a while to get going. So once the second half hit, it was all hands on deck.
Yeah, it love
was
it.
Tom Barrass playing another blinder. I don't have him in the votes, unfortunately, but I'm giving him his flowers now.
Love it.
He is the most underrated player in football as a key defender. None of the Vic media will ever talk about him. Yeah. They will never talk about him.
He's been amazing for a long time.
When McGovern is there as well, it really frees Tom Barrass up to do his own thing as well. They're a really fluid duo, as one guy's the key defender, one guy's the interceptor. Tom Barrass, as a spoiler, as a come over the back with a punch, no one better. No one better in the AFL. I mean,
and it's kind of poetic in a way, because for a long time that was McGovern. That was his role, and the torch was kind of handed
now
over
McGovern
somewhat.
Now McGovern sits off a little bit sometimes and lets Barrass go with and the 2v1 at the back. It's fucking awesome.
Like,
it's great.
To get a young guy like that, I mean, he's getting on now, but they've been playing together for quite some time. To learn to be able to play with a guy at the caliber of McGovern, who is getting subsequent All-Australian jackets for that role, to learn from him and surpass him doing essentially the same thing but hybridizing it, very cool to see.
And one of the things that was very clear in this game was when looking at it at the ground, Essendon were the more skilled team. When they moved the ball, they were hitting kicks and hitting handballs that the Eagles didn't have the talent to be doing that sort of thing, and it was more gritty when the Eagles were moving the ball. They'd fuck up a kick here and there, then they've got a scramble, but they kept going at it and they would move it, and it ended up being a goal in it. And Eagles were coming, they were charging. I do think the better team won, even though Eagles had a chance with Waterman's mark and then Cripps giving away a free kick, unfortunately, turning it over. It's unfortunate, but I do think Essendon were the better team.
Yeah.
It's an accurate scoreline for what the game was.
I think so, yeah.
Loved it. 5 stars.
Interestingly,
such drama.
This has done wonders for the ladder. The Planes, mysteriously, up in
fifth. They're in fifth. What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
And they're on 95%.
This is the year. They don't ask how. They ask how many.
It is seemingly impossible. Everyone around them is... well into the hundreds, the 120s.
I got to tell you, Jake Stringer converts to Islam, and all of a sudden, the heart of the cards, it's all falling Essendon's way. These little things, these little acts of God or Allah, perhaps, are getting the Dons over the line.
The next
Love
game
this.
Is was the Dockers at the MCG. Belting the Richmond Tigers 103-49.
Kind of expected it.
Like, not a lot to say. Big Tracy kicking 4 goals was very good.
They needed to do it. They needed this big win, and they got it.
Watching Hayden Young in this game was pretty wild. Yeah. He is scary, scary good, and exactly what the Dockers need to counteract what the game style that they've been playing.
Josh Tracy now is actually up there in the Coleman Medal. I think he's like 7th in the Coleman
Holy
Medal.
Shit.
Luke Ryan, 39 disposals.
39 disposals.
What
huge.
In the fuck?
Yeah.
For a key back
it's wild.
To get 39 is mental.
The WA media went a bit Burko with Justin Longmire's quotes.
Longmuir.
Yeah,
he's not Big Horse Longmire.
Sorry.
He's
Little
J-Lo.
Horse.
J-Lo.
J-Lo.
He's J-Lo.
J-Lo's quotes about the treatment of Jaya Miss. There was one play in particular where Miller, I believe it was, knee-dropped him basically in the face.
Yeah.
He was reported but got off.
Yeah.
But J-Lo's been saying that a miss has been copping it behind the ball, but I think every key forward does.
You know, that's just good key defending, really. You know, sometimes you got to throw a knee in the back of the head.
Not much you can do for that.
Sometimes you got to punch a bloke in the kidneys. Sometimes you've got to slightly pull down their shorts just so they're uncomfortable and they have to take that split second to pull them back up.
Next game was this one made me laugh. The Western Bulldogs going down to the Hawks 91-98.
How did I not see this coming? The second you said this game, I was like, oh, Doggies going to win. I tipped Doggies. And I'm like, of course Hawks won this game. Of course they did. It was such a classic Bevo loss.
It's crazy.
With all the talent out there on the field, Doggies are clearly the more skilled team. They've clearly got the cattle, the fitness even. Like, I have no idea why. Like, yeah, it was...
This is a nail in the coffin for Bevo.
I think it's... You can't continue.
No.
You cannot continue with it. And I hate to be Sam Draper about this, but I'm on a podcast saying he's got to go. It's time to go.
I found this very interesting comment in a Reddit thread. I don't have the username actually, but it's quite a succinct breakdown of exactly kind of what's going on at the Dogs. And yeah. I agree with everything that this user is saying. I'll just quickly read it to you. The Dogs play multiple rebounding defenders who don't have defensive nous. Dale, JJ, Bramble all have speed and or foot skills but struggle to be accountable for their man. The only small defender who can handle small forwards is Durea.
Yeah,
he's
Durea's
close to cooked.
Yeah.
Norton and West are the only forwards who apply above average levels of pressure. Vandermeer, too, if you count him. So the ball far too easily exits their forward line. The mids have next to no defensive side in their game, with them all being largely focused on ball winning, Libba and McRae, or streaming forward out of congestion, Treloar and Bond.
Yeah.
When the opposition has ball in hand, they struggle to win it back and allow the ball to too easily enter the D50, putting the defence under even more pressure.
Which they can't handle.
Since the loss of Hunter and Rourke Smith's body failing him, they've lacked a two-way runner on the wing and have been relying on discards from other clubs to varying effect. This is just scraping the surface of the list concerns, though it's all relatively easily addressed through adjustments to game plan or the addition of a few role players. The biggest issue is coaching, which is why it's getting so much attention right now. If you want an idea of why it's an issue, in the Frio game, Sarong was going off the rails, racking up a career-high clearances of 17. They recruited Harms in the offseason as a defensive mid to help address this weakness in the middle. What does Bevo do? He sends Caleb Daniel to try shut him down by running to him off the forward flank after every centre bounce. A guy with no pace and not even starting in the same position was playing a run-with role over a guy who is literally on the list to play this role.
Yeah, it's...
I think that's quite a succinct breakdown.
I wish we had the username for that, because that is fantastic Reddit analysis from our mate there. If that is you, we are sorry for not getting your name. Could not have said it any better myself. Yeah. There's holes everywhere in terms of the role players they are lacking. Mm. I completely agree. And should we finish off...
The last game, this one made me sad.
I know.
The Q Clash.
What the fuck happened?
Brisbane Lions went up 79-45 over the mighty Gold Coast
Suns.
This
is one of the best performances from the Brisbane Lions under Fagan, for sure. They had 100%. One bloke on the bench by the end of the game.
It was wild.
And they were just so effective in maintaining possession and keeping it off of the Suns.
The Suns looked like a shadow of themselves.
I could not believe it.
Like, the unforced errors were just
and
wrecking.
Because they had no one on the bench, the statistics for all of the Lions players were so skewed. They all had 40 touches and like 8,000 meters gained. It was fucked. Like Zorko getting the medal ended up being like 39 touches or 40 touches got the medal. But I know I had Josh Dunkley in my fantasy team. He got 155. Like, just unbelievable accumulation of the ball.
It was sad to see. Sad
it was
to
sad
see.
To see.
Some of the injuries were bad. They got two ACLs in that game.
Yeah, rough.
I think, was it McGluggage?
McCarthy.
McCarthy, yeah. No good. And then
good.
Another guy went down before the game started.
Yeah, that was in the warm-up. I forget who.
It was a great story. I believe it was Logan Morris.
Yeah,
he'd already played a VFL game that morning.
Full
four quarters. Got called into the side. He'd already had a Big Macca's feast.
Yes.
Apparently a Grand Angus and 15 nuggets.
You love to see it.
And
I
strawberry
like
thick
the
shake.
15 nuggets and the thick shake. That is like, that's when you are wanting to hurt your body.
So apparently
like,
he'd gone to the game to watch it. It didn't have his kit, so he borrowed Will Ashcroft's boots. He was assumably just training or something to loosen out the knee.
Yes.
And he's ended up playing, kicking his first AFL goal. Combined over the two games, he ran 22 kilometres for the day.
Some of my best work for Kulbinya was backing up in the Colts and then playing a Rezzy's game. Then boundary umpiring the league game where I would have a dart
have
and
a
beer at half time.
Good.
That's some of my peak fitness at 21 right
now,
there. But you can do that sort of thing when you're 21.
You can
that sort of thing.
Oh, you can do it when you're 34.
You can do it when you're 34. I'm not going to, but
The interesting thing with Brisbane here is fans and critics alike have been decrying them all year. They've played the least amount of players of any team this season, the least amount of rookies as well. I think only two debutants for the year. So people have been crying out, like, why aren't we playing more people? The monkey's paw has curled. They will be playing debutants, but It's because all of their older guys have unfortunately passed away.
They might even play Trav's boy, Shadow Brain. They could play Shadow. Keep an eye out, ladies and gentlemen. Keep an eye out. So should we get into the votes, Corey?
Yes, let's get into the votes.
It's a special edition of the votes because you've done the maths.
I have done some maths.
You've done the spreadsheet accumulation, and we can have an update of the standings in the barely touched him Nick Dacos Medal of Freedom.
Yes.
And how we are going with the MVP voting. So let's start. I'll start with the boys.
Bring up Monty and Trav.
Monty and Travis's votes in the group chat. So Monty's votes, with one vote, he's gone. Max Holmes from Geelong.
Yes, good.
Underrated player. Two votes, Jeremy McGovern.
Yeah, don't mind that.
Three votes, Jake Lever. A lot of love for the intercept marking types. Four votes, Blake Akers for Carlton.
Very good.
And five votes, Nick Dacos.
Yeah, Nick.
Who
tricky
else was
Nicky.
It going to be?
Yeah,
who
I
else
love
was
that.
It? It was tricky Nick. Now, Travis, one vote, Errol Goulden.
Very good.
Two votes, Nick Dacos. Three votes, Jake Soligo. Four votes, Zach Merritt. And five votes, Hayden Young.
Yeah, Hayden Young deserves that.
Now, Corey, what are your votes?
I have gone one vote for one Scott Pendlebury.
Oh, he had a good game.
Wound back the clock a little bit. Produced quite a good game there. I was very impressed. Two votes, Stephen May.
I wanted to give Stephen
that
May votes.
Defensive effort by him and Lever. I could have gone substituted Lever in for him there. Three votes, Isaac Heaney. The Heenpeen will not stop. Four votes, Zach Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
And five votes, Whisper Nicky Dacos. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. You love to see it.
You do love to see it.
You love to see it.
My one vote, I've gone back to the vibes for the one vote pick. No one else has picked him.
Yes.
I believe it might be his debut on the barely touched him count. He might be a brand new player across our two seasons of doing this vote. One, Josh Weddle of the Hawks.
Oh, you know, I almost put him in.
Loved his run off of halfback.
Yeah.
He's got the willingness to take the game on. And even though he only had the 15 disposals, he also kicked a goal, which was a very good goal.
He is debuting on the list, by the way.
I love the run and carry he provides off of halfback. Now that Shankuth Jiath is out of the side, he sort of takes up that mantle of the rebounding halfback flanker. Love it. Two votes, Luke Ryan.
Yep.
39
very good.
Disposals, 15 marks, and 7 score involvements.
Insane. Just,
it was a blowout, yes, but you can't deny that sort of a performance from Lukey Ryan. Three votes, Errol Goulden in the wet. BOG, I thought. I mean, I relied on you boys giving votes to Heaney, which I often do.
Yep.
I'll give it to the other Swans boys. 29 disposals and a goal. Classic Errol on the wing. And four votes, Zach Merritt, very similar to you. 29 disposals, 3 goals. The dribbler goal he got.
Yep.
I was right behind it. On the half forward flank there, he won the game. He won the game off his own boot, and five votes. Of course, it's Nicky Dacos. He's the best man. He's the best footballer in the world. I've been saying this. It's Nick Dacos. So now, have you done the maths, Corey? Let's update. Let's go the top 10.
The top 10.
Let's go the top 10 for the barely touched him Nick Dacos Medal of Freedom.
Well, interestingly enough, your votes, your votes for this round were the only ones not in here. It has not affected the top 10.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
So I'll start from 10. Luke Jackson, 13 votes.
That's all you. You all 13
no,
of those votes.
No, it actually was not.
Okay.
I voted for him twice. And Monty voted for him once, and so did Travis.
Okay, all right, okay, yes. Yep, fair enough. No. Luke Jackson in 10th.
Yeah,
I
very,
like
very
that.
Good.
He's having a good year.
Marcus Bontempelli, 13 votes.
And in an off year for Bont, he's still in 9th.
Yeah,
that just speaks to the calibre.
Wanganeen Millera, 16 votes
Whoa,
on 8th.
Whoa, that's a shock.
Yeah, that's a shocking one.
He must have had a near perfect week.
He had a blinder
of
a week.
Yeah, he did, where he got like the 35 or something.
And then he also got votes the week after, I believe.
He did, yeah, the Wang.
Caleb Sarong, 18 votes in 7th position.
Yep.
Now, this is a stunner. 6th position, Harley Reid.
Whoa!
20 votes. He's up there.
Rev up the he's Harley. Up
sorry. He's not sixth. He's fifth.
Who's in sixth?
He's in fifth. These are all down one. Sorry, Brian Myers is 10th. Luke Jackson.
Oh my God,
ninth.
Brian in 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bontempelli. We're going back. So, yeah.
Bontempelli 8th. Wanganeen Mallira 7th. Caleb Sarong 6th.
Yeah.
Harley
in 5th. He's in the top 5.
Yep.
He could win the whole thing.
Oh no, sorry. No, he is 6th. He is 6th. Yeah. I faxed it all up. next. In third, sorry.
So Who's fourth?
Harley Reid's fourth. I'm looking
at
the wrong numbers.
Revving up. We're going to have the numbers for you, ladies and gentlemen. Corey's done the spreadsheet. I'm looking at the spreadsheet.
Okay, we'll
the
again.
Font is very small.
We'll
the
again.
Font is incredibly Tenth. Small.
Tenth is Patrick Cripps. Brian Myers is 9th.
Okay.
So Luke Jackson is 8th.
So Bont is 7th. 10th to 8th.
Wanganeen Mallira is 6th. Caleb Sarong is 5th.
Harley Reid is 4th. He's 4th.
All right. Now we're back on track.
Yep, go on.
22
go
votes
on.
Is Matt Rowell on 3rd.
Oh, wow. Yep. Okay.
So Isaac Heaney, 30 votes in 2nd position. And way out on top is Zach Merritt on 40 votes.
Yeah, look, the top two don't surprise me.
Yep.
Everything else is a shock.
Yes,
everything
it was.
Else is
it
a
was,
shock
it
to
was
me.
Quite shocking.
Harley Reid in 4th.
Yeah.
God, we are West Australia, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We've bitten into the fever.
We've bitten into it. So, yeah, so Cripps 10th, Grind Myers 9th is cool. I like that. Well,
yeah,
what a countdown it's turning out to be, ladies. No one's out of the race yet.
So, Cripps on 10, there's a lot of players nipping at the heels there.
So, talk us through some highlights from the lower count.
Well, interestingly, I like all the guys that are on one vote.
Yeah, go on.
I really do. I'll just reel them off to you. Mac Andrew.
Oh, that
Tom
was
Barass,
me.
Kieran Briggs. Willem Drew. Jamie Elliott. Guelphy. Max Holmes. Josh Kelly. Libba. Todd Marshall. Braden Maynard. Scott Pendlebury. Archie Perkins. Tom Powell. Maurice Rioli. Jake Rogers. Georgie Wardlaw. The Warpedo.
Yes.
And Elliot Yeo.
Yes, I gave that one to the Warpedo. Yeah, I remember
very,
that.
Very
yes,
good
yes.
stuff.
Elliot Yeo's only on one
he's
vote.
He's only on one vote. Yeah, he's having an unbelievable year.
He's having an unbelievable year. Not here, folks. Not here.
So just to reiterate with the viewers, we know nothing about football.
We don't. We're not a football podcast.
We know nothing about football.
Should we go to the quiz? Have you got the quiz in the bag?
Quiz.
Let's go.
It's
ladies
time
and gentlemen.
For the quiz.
It's time for the Barely Touched Him quiz. Roll up. It's the Royal Show. There's clowns. There's shooting gallery. There's all these sorts of things and more. You can also guess the size of Corey's penis.
It's small.
It's the Barely Touched Him quiz where I've not got to, because I'm looking at the monitor. I can't look at it.
Now,
I'm not looking at the answers.
As has become customary, before we do the quiz, I do have a fun fact for you.
Oh, go on.
If I can just find the notes, which have disappeared. Oh, okay. No, we'll just do the quiz, and I'll give you the fun fact afterwards.
I was primed and ready for the.
All right, number one, Elliot Yeo play. Oh, first of all, we thank Friday Footy Quiz for these questions. You can hit him up on Instagram or his website.
Yes, yes.
Very
I'm not looking because
appreciative,
it's on the
as
screen.
Per usual. Elliot Yeo plays his 200th match this weekend. How many times has he been named an All Australian?
Only once, hasn't he?
Twice.
Oh.
2017 and 2019.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah.
How many disposals did Nat Fyfe rack up in the first quarter against the Western Bulldogs last week?
Zero, didn't he? He was the sub.
15.
Fuck. it's a bad start, ladies and gentlemen.
Name the most recent Coleman medalist who did not play in the Geelong v Carlton match in round 7.
Okay, so let's take it back here. It was Hawkins, then Jez, then Kerno. Kerno's won it twice in a row. Then it was Mackay. It's
a tough one.
It is actually a tough one. I'm not looking. Who else has won the Coleman medal?
It's actually quite obvious if you think about it for a second. I'll give you 5 more seconds.
Is it Jack Riewoldt?
Correct.
Yeah. God, that's taken me back. Yeah, Jesus.
Which AFLW superstar announced this week that she would miss the 2024 season due to pregnancy?
I don't know.
Ciara Bowers.
Oh, Bowers. I do know Ciara Bowers. Yeah, I didn't know she was pregnant. I didn't know that.
Which side won the first ever showdown in 1997?
Adelaide.
Port Adelaide.
Oh, did Port win the first showdown? How have they managed that? I'm stinking up the joint this week.
What is the titular bridge referred to in the name Battle of the Bridge?
Oh, the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
The Anzac Bridge.
Get fucked. No, why would it be the Anzac Bridge? Where is the Anzac Bridge?
I don't know.
What? That's bullshit. No, it's the Battle of the Harbour Bridge because they're in Sydney.
It's the Anzac Bridge.
That's not true, Saturday quiz. Oh, for God's sake. The fucking Anzac Bridge. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist.
I really thought I was going to say the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Click reveal answer. I couldn't believe it.
Go on. Next question.
It made me so happy to press the incorrect button.
Anzac Bridge. God.
Who took Mark of the Year in 2023? I just remembered who it is.
I'm drawing a blank.
No, Harry Himmelberg.
Oh, that's why I'm drawing a blank, because it's Harry Himmelberg. Yeah, this is not my finest hour.
From memory, he robbed it from somebody.
I remember it not being a good field. It wasn't great. In the mark of the year when I was looking at it.
The two best marks of the year weren't in contention.
Yeah,
I remember that.
The first
national draft was held in which year? Well, you would assume it would be...
It would be the first year of the AFL. Yeah. So that would be 1987.
1986.
Oh, fuck.
The year before the AFL.
See, I've been close on the yo question and this question. Yep. So, like, it's not a complete enough answer. Yeah.
Which... I think you've only got one right.
Yeah.
Which player kicked the Gold Coast Suns' first ever goal in the AFL?
Charlie Dixon.
Correct.
Yeah, there we go. We're back in it.
Who said it? Quote, "My heart's pumping 1,000 minutes per second."
Jack Higgins. Whip out the Legos. It's our young boy. Yes.
It says, depending on what score you get, the website gives you a little comment. So you got 3 out of 10 and it says, "I'll spew up."
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Next up, we've got the flagship segment of the Barely Touched Him podcast. It is Adopt Your Ball. My boys are both fucking injured. Yes, my boys are both injured, and it comes... I, of course, am talking about Jai Menzies and Paddy Parnell, ladies and gentlemen. Adopt your boy. Send your boy into the Barely Touched Him podcast on the Instagram DMs. My boys are in strife. Mm. Jai Menzies got 2 more weeks, according to the Essendon injury list, with his shoulder.
Yeah, I did see that.
I've got horrible news. Paddy Parnell's out for the season. With his shoulder.
That's devastating.
He's out for the season.
That is devastating.
I should have... Do you have any sad music? Do you have any... Yeah, so... Paddy's... He's done his shoulder. It looked innocuous at the time. It looked like he'd only just gone down with, you know... It might have been a 3-weeker. It could have been a 4-weeker. But unfortunately, we've had to take him out the back. We've had to put the tarp over it. Had to whip out the bolt action. And put Paddy out of his misery.
He's
out
dead.
The back. He's like old Yeller. He's like a Labrador that's foaming at the mouth that we have to...
He's out there with Goda.
He's out there with Josh Goda. He's out for the season. So now all of my boy hopes rest on young Jai Menzies. He's my number one boy. He's my Kendall Roy. I'm going to hold him like this and go, "You're my number one boy. You're my number one boy, Jai."
Well, prayers up.
"You better get more than 5 touches in this game and kick a fucking goal, Jai. You're my number one boy." He's crying like, "I'll do it. I'll do it for you, Dad. You're my number one boy." So that's where I'm at in Adopt Your Boy. Talk to us about your boy, Corey. Give me some good news.
There is no good news. Booker Kamis, listen. I think I'm going to put this down to not being Buku's fault here.
Yep.
He's the whole Western Bulldogs side is not being coached well, very obviously. So I'm going to extend that to Buku. He just looks a bit listless at times. Like, he doesn't know what it is he's supposed to be doing. Mm. And when he does get somewhere, he does it badly because he's not supposed to be there.
You got
to
tell the boy what to do, Bevo.
Yeah, he had 11. He had 11 disposals, two tackles, 79 meters gain, which was the worst.
That's
on the field.
Not great. That's not great meters gain.
And crucially, the winning goal, which was kicked by James Sicily, he kicked that on Buku Kame.
He did. I remember that. Yes.
So
yes.
It wasn't great, but I would
also,
like to
honorable
think.
Honorable mention for the votes, James Sicily. Yeah. Like, yeah, fucking fantastic.
I would like to think that with a bit of direction. A bit of something. Buku can get in there.
You've got to do something for Buku. You've got to, you know, maybe send him to a little like a TAFE course or something like a little day course in team building exercises with the boys.
Yeah, love that.
You know, do theater,
some trust falls.
Do some trust falls.
Some improv.
Do some theater sports. Yeah, some improv and just get him because that's where the non-meters gain comes from.
He wants
to just hands it off to somebody.
I think so.
He's not comfortable doing a yes and. He's not comfortable doing scenes from a hat with Drew Carey.
I wholeheartedly agree.
He needs that in his life. He needs to be able to adapt on the fly. Maybe him and Jai can go to theatre sports together and do these. Did you have theatre sports in your school?
I was good at it.
We would have fucking demolished as a theatre sports team for sure.
Oh, yeah. I often do theatre sports just at home.
Chloe hates it. What the fuck are you doing? I do it with Nadia non-consensually.
Yeah,
she 100%. Doesn't want it either. I do it with Howie. He's got no idea what's going on. He's just a baby cavoodle who's now sleeping in the bed and
you gotta love that.
It's all out of control from here. We bought him a bed. We bought the young cavoodle boy a bed. After he got out because he had a little pen beside the bed, but he got too big for that. And he's now he jumps out of it. So now for like 2 months he's been sleeping in the bed and now we bought him a new bed and he's not putting two and two together. He's not.
Should we move into other sports?
Other sporting news.
Formula One.
So you're starting to get into it now.
It sounds like the Nike ad. Where they're bouncing the basketballs on the thing. It's other sporting news.
It is. We've got some good ones this week. I'll start off with a fun one before we get into anything too serious. Now, I relate with this very hard. I'm not sure what you think of it, but NBA player Patrick Beverley has been reportedly banned from any future guest appearances on the ESPN channel and all of its affiliates following his behavior towards an ESPN producer in last night's press conference. He refused to answer post-game questions from an ESPN producer because she wasn't subscribed to his podcast.
What?
Now, I've got some audio here. I'll just play the first bit of you because it's very funny.
Here. Excuse me, I'm sorry before I finish. Yeah. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
So you can't interview me then.
Oh.
No disrespect.
No disrespect.
You subscribe? Okay, cool.
Oh, this is king shit.
And
he ends up pushing
the microphone out of his face. Get out of my face.
In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe.
Now, this is good.
He moves the mic away from
this
her.
This is good because I've been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah.
My last job, my boss kept getting me to do stuff, and I said, sorry. Are you subscribed to
Barely Touched Him?
What pod? What are you talking about? I said, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. I'm out the door. Here's my 2 weeks. Actually, you're not getting 2 weeks. I'm out the door fucking now.
The other day I was in the kitchen with Chloe. I said, can you get the rice out of the rice cooker? I'm like, sorry, are you subscribed to the pod? She's like, can you just please get it? I'm like, no, I'm out of here.
She doesn't subscribe to the pod?
So I'm friendless. I'm penniless.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm sticking to my morals.
That's right. You know, it's non-negotiable.
If you don't subscribe to the pod, you're not allowed to ask me anything.
You're not, don't even come near me.
I
wouldn't piss on you if you're on fire, if you're not subscribed to the Barely Touched Him. I've got one for other sporting news, except it's not sport, but it is sport adjacent because
I like that.
There's NBA things involved sort of in this. Yep.
Got a bit of NBA news.
Are you across, Corey? I know you might. Your hip hop knowledge is, I don't know where it's at.
Oh, are we going Drake?
Are we going Drake Kendrick? Yeah. Because I am going Drake Kendrick.
It's all very bizarre.
It's It's been years in the making.
And I feel like it's in the wake of the Diddy scandal as well.
It is. But also, Drake's had it coming for a long time. Dear listener, the Drake versus Kendrick battle is the most important hip-hop war of our time. Since Biggie and Tupac, nothing has been so captured in the public lexicon, in the public knowledge. Everybody's talking about this.
Yep.
My TikTok For You page has been nothing but Drake and Kendrick Lamar. And it goes back a while. It goes back to Pusha T calling out Drake and revealing that he had a secret son because he knocked up a porn star and then tried to keep that son a secret.
I think the son is French as well.
His name is Adonis.
French.
Who knows? He looks like Napoleon Dynamite. That's what the son looks like. Either way, Kendrick and Drake have been going at it. Mm. Cards on the table. I'm a Kendrick fanboy.
I'd be pro-Kendrick
in that. I'm a big pro-Kendrick fanboy. Drake hasn't released any good music in 8 years.
No.
He's been very much resting on his laurels, saying, produce this song for me, write this song for me, I'll rap it, and it'll go to number one. And it does. But he's calling out Kendrick Lamar, saying, you know, you ain't all that, big boy. Like, I'm the real king here. Drake is a spoiled rich boy from Canada who was on Degrassi.
Yes.
Kendrick actually did hip-hop things, selling drugs.
He's one shade away from being white.
He's one shade. I've met white people blacker than Drake. I know them. I've played football with white dudes, with Macedonian dudes from Dianella who were blacker than Drake. Kendrick has actually grown up on the streets of Compton. Yep. He's been there, he's done that, and he has absolutely obliterated Drake in this rap battle. I've never seen anyone.
He revoked his N-word pass.
He's revoked the N-word pass. He said, I don't want to hear you saying it.
Don't say it.
He then revealed that possibly, allegedly, it's all alleged, that Drake has another child that he's been hiding, that he is a sex offender.
Yes.
Everyone is now chanting that Drake is a pedophile.
The allegations against Drake have been quite thick in the past, that he has groomed 16, 17-year-old
It's been a long time
fans.
Coming. It's been a long time coming. And I'm just putting this, and I'm glossing over a lot of this because I don't want to get too deep into it, because I could talk about this for hours. But the official stance of the Barely Touched Him podcast is Team Kendrick.
Pro Kendrick.
We're pro Kendrick Lamar. Absolutely. We're anti-Drake.
Yeah,
100%. Get off the bandwagon if you're
The only Drake song I like is because it's got a really good Lauryn Hill sample in it. That's
Which one's that?
Turn Down For What? No, not Turn Down
That's
For What.
That's Lil Jon, Corey.
What's it called?
Nice For What?
Nice For What.
Nice For What's a good song.
I just like that because of the Lauryn
Hill.
There's
Drake songs I really like. I used to like listening to Drake. Like, he's made good music, but not anymore. Not anymore.
Well,
what have you got in other sporting news?
Well, in NBA, Victor Wembanyama has unanimously taken out Rookie of the Year. Quite unsurprisingly, you would think, because of how hyped he was. And he did start to deliver almost immediately.
Yes.
Him being voted unanimously doesn't happen very often. He became the second rookie to lead the league in blocks since the NBA began keeping official records in 1973. He also became the first rookie since Shaquille O'Neal to record a 40-point, 20-rebound outing.
Huge. Absolutely huge.
Yeah, it's...
And it's for... Like, I hope he stays with the Spurs as well, because they've got a good coach in Popovich, and I'm sure they've got a good leadership structure to replace him afterwards. He's a guy that you want to build a franchise around because he's a freak, and there is no one else like him in the NBA. The pure length of him, the shooting ability of him for being a guy so tall, he's 7'5".
Yeah.
His arms go up to the fucking roof of
the
stadium.
He goaltends like a motherfucker. It
is
wild.
He's insanely scary to think about that this is just his first year.
Yeah.
We're now, like, there are other guys in the NBA that you could say, like, you know, are the best. Like, Jokic has been MVP, like, for the past, like, sort of 3 or 4 years. Anthony Edwards is very good. Luka Doncic is very good. But... we're now in, like, it's only a matter of time before Wemby hits his peak and it's over. Like, he is unplayable. There's nothing
do. There already is kind of discourse around having to play against the Spurs differently than any other team.
Yeah. Because he is there.
And he will only get better. It's, you know, how well will his massive body hold up? Seemingly, they're very confident.
He's going all right. He moves
like a much smaller man and handles the ball, especially like
because
a much smaller man.
He's very slender.
Next, we have some round ball news. I know you're a fan of your round ball.
I do like my round ball.
Will Ferrell has followed Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney followed their lead and is invested in an English football club.
Oh, I didn't know this. Which one?
Have a guess.
Oh, fuck. I mean, it's probably going to be one from the lower leagues if he's going to go...
One below.
So the Championship. They're in the Championship.
Yes, and they're fighting to get back into the Premier League.
Well, have they been promoted this season?
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, because there's one game left. They're cutting it fine.
Yeah.
Is it... Oh, let me think of the teams. Well, Leicester's already been promoted. We've got, it's not Leeds, is it?
It's Leeds.
Is it Leeds? Oh, Will Ferrell's into Leeds.
Let me find it. Nice.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, so he's invested... no, they're not promoted Leeds. They're not.
They're not
it's
promoted?
Officially not there. I'm pretty sure they've shit the bed.
This article might be
it's
a little
old.
Bit older.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got quite the experience in owning sports team. He was actually the one that counselled Ryan Reynolds and McIlhenny before they got Wrexham because he had already owned the LA football club, soccer club.
And Galaxy.
Also the LA Kings he part owns, the 49ers he part owns. Even aside from Leeds, there's another team that he's
dude. Will Ferrell fucking rules.
Yeah, I mean he's always he's spotted in England at games all the time.
Yeah,
The camera goes to him. He's very funny at the LA Kings games. He gets on. He faces all paint. The camera will just go to him in the middle of the crowd, and he acts like just
nothing's happening.
Just a random guy. Like sculling beers with his face
and also
paint.
He's the star of two of the best sports movies ever made, Talladega Nights and Semi-Pro
is very good.
Fucking so good.
Underrated.
It's such very, an very underrated, underrated film.
In Formula One,
Lando Norris has done it.
He's got his first win.
You'd love to see it.
I'd love to see
it. He's an internet boy.
Yeah, love
he's
it.
He's just a young
love
boy
it. And you can tell how well liked he is because immediately after the race All the drivers were coming up to him, congratulating him. Like they were all just so stoked for him. Which you love to see. Interestingly, I'll just try and find the tweet. Here we go. Post race, Donald Trump put out a tweet implying that it was because of him.
Well, I think correctly implying that it was because
I'll read the
of
tweet
him.
Out. So he went to the McLaren garage pre-race and was kind of poking around and looking around and whatnot. And he tweeted, it was a great honor to see my friends at McLaren win the big Miami Formula One race. It was the car I visited before the race and
he
endorsed.
He didn't even say Grand Prix.
That's what we need for our country, winning. Like, it's a British team with a British driver. What are you?
And like, the least you could do is call it the Miami Grand Prix because that's like the proper thing to call a Formula One race. It's the big Formula One. It's so great to see that Lando Norris has won. I believe they're calling it the big race, people. There's a lot of people in Miami.
People are saying it's the best race.
People are saying he's a Twitch streamer. He's a virgin. I'm not saying it, but people are saying it.
But, yeah, very good for Lando. That leaves Nico Hülkenberg at the top of the table for most races without a podium or win.
What is he, Norwegian?
Hülkenberg? I believe Nico Hülkenberg is... That's a good question.
I think he's Scandinavian of some sort.
He's very tall.
Very tall, very blonde. Tall. Very blonde. Yeah. So.
While we're on racing, I don't really follow NASCAR very closely, but this is amazing. The Kansas Motor Speedway was on, and Kyle Larson has won the closest race in NASCAR Cup Series. I've got a picture up on
I'm
the screen.
I'm looking
here,
at it
Ben.
Right now.
He has won by about an inch. It's
You'd
one
be fucking spewing if that was your if that lost you your bet.
No. 1,000th of a second.
Good
now,
Lord.
When this race finished, the actual track timing showed the other guy had won. They had to actually take it back to the footage and more accurate timing equipment that was happened to be there to say, no, it was in fact Kyle that won. So you'd be filthy if you were the guy in second.
You'd be filthy. You'd be absolutely filthy.
Now, Ben, the AFL has discussed mid-season drafts and whatnot, and people are, you know, either yay or nay on that. In the lower leagues of baseball in America, there's a guy here. I've got the footage here. He's a relief runner. He's standing on the second base in the middle of the game. The game stops. The game stops. The umpires step in. The coaches step in. He's pulled from the game because he's been traded. While the game is on.
No.
So he starts hugging his mates.
Oh, he's got to walk out?
He's walking out of the game.
You got to walk out mid-game?
He's shrugging his shoulders. He has no idea what's going on. Like, what? You want me to come over there? The coach says, all right, buddy, thanks for that. Catch you later. You've been traded.
That is absolutely something that would happen to Chris Mayne.
It is. You know, I was gonna pitch the question to you. If this was football, who would that happen to?
Chris Mayne.
You're dead right.
I'm convinced now that is what happened. I don't know. That is what went down. Chris Mayne was playing for Frio. He kicks a point. Off you go, son. Get on the plane. You're going to Victoria.
In fighting news.
Thank you, Bruce.
We had Steve Erceg, the Perth boy, flyweight championship bout against Alexander Pantoja. He did go down, unfortunately. He survived the full five rounds.
Yeah, went the distance.
And he threw some unbelievable counter shots. Pantoja was walking through them like it was nothing. This guy has got a chin like nothing else. There was one shot in particular where Pantoja threw a bit of a hook at him. Erceg's dodged it and clean elbowed him in the temple. Clean. And then left hooked him straight away. And Pantoja just kept walking straight at him. It's like, if that's not going to take you down, nothing will.
Well, he's a Mexican, isn't he, Pantoja?
I believe he is, or Colombian.
They're built of tough stuff down in South and Central America.
Erceg's, he's seeded 10th. That close finish against the champion will surely rocket him up.
You'd think so.
And he's still very young. He's only his 12th, only his 14th fight, third or fourth in the UFC.
Yeah,
he will definitely be a champ at some stage.
Yes.
Also, Canelo Alvarez had a fight over the weekend with one Magera, which was very, very interesting. Magera was getting over the top of him to start with, but Canelo's not losing it with age. It was just unbelievably sharp. I think he's going to be sticking around for a time to come.
Should we get to the mailbag?
Let's do the mailbag.
The mailbag. We've had a fair few responses this week, and a couple that I missed from the other week from our dear boy, Cracker Craig, because they went into our general inbox, not our regular inbox.
So I did
miss them, but I've got them here now.
We love
starting.
Cracker Craig.
Oh, we love Cracker Craig. Dear friend, number one listener. Like,
I wouldn't be mad about giving Cracker Craig.
Obviously, you know, our significant others and our parents.
Vanderman Close.
Also, my father is right up there. But, you know, Cracker Craig is hard. He's who you should be gunning for in terms of engagement, dear listener.
Yep.
You want to be on Cracker Craig's level. Cracker Craig says, what is the most tortured fan base in Aussie sport? AFL Kangaroos or Saints?
Soccer
Perth Glory? Cricket Hobart Hurricanes? What is the most tortured fan base?
Oh, it's got to be St. Kilda.
It's 100% St. Kilda.
Just time and time again.
One flag where it was black and white TV for the flag. And
what was
like
it, 63?
It drew the week before as well. it was absolutely fecked.
Yeah, it has to be St. Kilda. I don't think there's any contest there.
Also, favourite footy fails, e.g. Peter Dean's 1995 grand final slip and fall from the podium, or the best? What's a favourite footy fail? Where like someone has done, doesn't have to be in a game. It could be a journo. It could be. I've got one that springs to mind.
I'm trying to think of a good Chris Mayne one since you just mentioned it.
When Jared Healy said that he was running the boundary, and I think he was with Alistair Lynch, and they're talking about the Gold Coast Suns in the lead up to a game, and Jared Healy it was a slip of the tongue, and he said, and the other thing about the gold cunts, and he said. Dropped a C-bomb on national television.
Very good.
That's my fave.
Love that. Or in that vein, the Kelly Underwood Orange Team's very good.
Orange Team's right
very
up there.
Good.
That's a good modern one
very
as well.
Good.
I'm trying to think of one that a player's done in a game that was exceptionally funny where they've like really shit the bed.
Well, Chris
and
Mayne had a few.
Chris Mayne did have a few.
I think there was...
Lynch had a few at the Eagles where like, you know, there were just some funny moments.
It is always funny when a debutant runs the wrong way. That's happened a few times. There was one earlier this year where the guy, his first disposal, he starts running the wrong way.
Yeah, love a good 180 spin. The 180 spin's very good. On to this week's ones from the mailbag. Let me just pull them up from the Instagram story. Again, barely touched him on Instagram. You should give us a follow. Owen Rangel said, red cards for the AFL. Yes, no.
Yes.
I agree, yes.
100% yes.
How would it work? Do you think that the, you should play a player down on the field?
No, don't like that.
Or your guy just can't be rotated on?
I think they should be out.
Yep.
And if you if your emergency hasn't been brought on,
bring
him on.
On.
If they have, bad luck.
Yep. Yep, I agree. Yep. Yeah,
I think so.
We're in agreement on that. Van the Man, 02, says, Crows on a 9-game showdown winning streak across all leagues. So that is, I assume, AFL and AFLW.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Crows on a 9-game showdown winning streak across all games.
Wow.
Across all leagues, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So
yep,
it'll be
yep.
AFL, AFLW.
Yeah.
And that would be it, I guess. So they've won like four
Unless
in a row in both.
Cricket
maybe
or something.
Maybe a cricket one. What's the cricket showdown? Is it the
no,
Adelaide
there
Strike?
Be one,
no,
it's just, South, it's just South Australia.
Just
yeah,
Adelaide
must just
strike.
Be footy.
Must just be footy. Very good fact.
Yeah,
very
good
fact.
Good. Very, very good.
Bushchuk Bandit, another top listener. He's right up there.
Love that.
Says current AFL players you think took multiple attempts on their provisional driving test. I hate to say this for every question like
Jack
this.
Higgins.
Jack Higgins.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if he does have a license.
Hey, I didn't have a license till I was 28.
I would be so stunned if Jack Higgins has a license.
I'm trying to think of other ones. You know, your Key Fords, meatheads, you'd think. But usually the country boys, it's easy to pass in the country.
Yes. Yeah,
so
is.
A big city boy Key Ford, I reckon, would absolutely have failed. Like, let's go like... who's a big city? Matt Tabiner, I think, would have failed his
crab.
First driving test. So Matt Crabiner.
Rory Love doesn't
Rory
seem
Love
too
would
sharp.
Have failed his driving test.
he doesn't
I
seem
feel
too
like
sharp.
We just rotate these names for when I went, oh, who do you think's an idiot? Oh,
it's their fault.
These guys.
It's their fault being so relevant yeah. to every question.
Maddie Angus says, can we have a BTH fantasy group next season?
Oh.
Absolutely
yeah,
we can.
Yeah,
yes, we
yeah.
can do a Barely Touched in Fantasy League, perhaps a fantasy draft.
Yeah, we
could
do that.
That we could
sure.
absolutely do that. Beer Drinking Gardener says, great name. Beer Drinking Gardener says, player nicknames. He's chiming in with a nickname he has
oh,
given
good.
You a player.
I love these. I love
because
these.
We encourage you to give us your unique nickname. And this... I think this takes the cake for one of the best nicknames I've ever seen in football. I've started calling him Shake Stringer. Because he's converted to Islam. He shakes Stringer.
That's really good.
That's the best mailbag submission we've ever had. I am now calling him Shake Stringer.
Yeah, Shake Stringer.
Inshallah, Habibi, Alhamdulillah, absolutely. Memes about Crom says, we love memes about Crom, says Jake Soligo will be better than Jason Horn Francis.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, Soligo's young.
Yes,
Soligo
is
very young.
But Horn Francis seems to have a bit of power and turn of foot that Soligo does not have. He's the skinnier man, if you will.
He is less of an absolute brute.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Horn Francis, not so much in the way that he plays, but he looks like an old school footballer to my eye. Soligo is more of a new school, new age guy.
Yeah, I think that's a
so
fair assumption.
Well, whether or not he'll be better, I don't know, but they are very different to me.
Yep, I'll back you in on that. Mark Smitty Smith, who said this was probably better for the Adopt the Boy segment, but he adopted Shannon Neal on the last pod as his boy.
Good.
And he says, young Shannon has kicked 5 goals across his last 2 VFL matches. Who knows? If Hawkins keeps being held goalless, he may get another call-up.
Give him a run.
Fingers crossed for
Give
the boy. Let the boy watch. And... Alex Cohn says, go the mighty fucking Hawks. Surely Bevo is gone by Tuesday.
Yes.
And yes, agree with that.
Agreed.
So let's get into the tips. Thank you for all the mailbag submissions.
Yep.
Shake Stringer is...
Shake Stringer is so good.
That is fucking amazing. That is the single best nickname I've ever heard for a footballer.
I've got the games up here, Ben.
So did you add the tips up as well? Or did
I
you
didn't
only
add,
do,
didn't
okay,
add
we'll
the
do,
tips
we'll,
up.
We'll do, the points maybe perhaps next week for the tips. I'll pull up the boys' tips as well, but let's go through each game. Game one by one and see what we're all tipping here.
Game one is Thursday night, Carlton v Melbourne at the MCG.
I'm tipping Melbourne. I think they're going to continue this run of form and I'm tipping them in a close one, 5 points.
5 points. I will take 11 points.
Yep. Monty has tipped the Blues by 3. Trav has tipped Carlton and he hasn't got... Oh, he's got the Blues by 12.
Blues by 12. Interesting.
So we are split on
did
this
they not
one.
Watch the Melbourne game?
I don't think they did.
Okay.
Next up.
There's two Friday night games to give all
for
the mothers...
For some reason.
That's the Mother's Day thing, I believe, is the reasoning. They want to give people, the mothers more time... To the boys won't be surrounding the TV watching
the
footy.
Yeah, sure, all right. Yes.
So the first one is...
Well, the mothers can watch the footy too. Go on.
The first one is the Geelong Cats versus Port Adelaide at GMHBA.
Geelong. Yeah, it's in Geelong. Port aren't winning this game.
That's Cats all day
Take
for
it
me.
To the bank.
I'd be surprised if Monty is following Port
there. He has actually forgotten to put... Oh, no, wait, no, he's put Cats. He's put
yeah,
Cats.
He's put Cats. Good.
Monty's tip Cats.
Good man, good man, good man.
Trav's tip Cats as well. Next up.
Next game, Frio Dockers versus the Sydney Swans at Optus Stadium. This is a cracker.
This is a cracker.
This could be a cracker. I feel like this is a defining moment for the Dockers.
It is a huge make or break game for Frio. If you're legit, you're going to beat Sydney in this game.
Yep,
like this is huge.
I'm taking the Dockers.
I'm taking the Swans. I don't think Dockers. I think Dockers will put in a good showing, but Sydney will find a way.
That's fair.
Monty has tipped the Swans, and Trav has also tipped the Swans.
I'm the lone
Frio truther. Next up.
We move to Saturday morning, Hawthorne versus St Kilda. Also worth mentioning this round, the whole top eight versus each other.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yep. Okay, that's cool.
So it's
All right.
The top four versus the bottom four of the top eight, if that makes
very,
sense.
Very, very good.
Hawks versus St Kilda.
I'm going Hawks.
This is in Tasmania.
I'm going Hawks in Tassie.
I'm going Hawks as well.
Yep.
I think they will take some confidence out of that win.
Monty's going Hawks in Tassie.
Yep.
And Trav is going the Saints.
St Kilda. And you're taking the Hawks.
I'm taking the Hawks,
Next game is at the MCG, the Richmond Tigers versus the Western Bulldogs. This is a shit show.
Classic incoming at Marvel.
It's at the MCG.
No. Essendon versus Giants.
I missed it.
Sorry.
The Plains versus the Giants.
Yes, that's why I said classic incoming. It's fifth versus third on the ladder.
Wow.
You know I'm taking the Plains.
Can the Plains do it?
The Plains can do it.
If enough of us just believe.
Yeah. Hey, look.
They can.
It's like Goku with the spirit bomb. We've just got to send our energy to the Plains.
By the
Plains, I mean Shake Stringer. That's who we're. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Yes.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it.
He's absolutely going to fucking do it. Are you taking the Plains?
I'm taking the Plains, of course.
Monty's taking the Giants and Trav's taking the Giants. Yeah. Ye of little faith.
They're amateurs.
They don't believe like we believe. Next up, it's the Richmond versus
the
Doggies.
Richmond Tigers versus the Western Bulldogs at the MCG. This is a shit show.
I just don't care.
You can really just flip a coin on this one.
I'll go Dogs. I'll take the Dogs. I think probably
the Dogs.
I'm going to take the Dogs. Monty is taking the Tigers and Trav's taking the Dogs, interestingly enough.
Jeez, Monty's got some odd views.
Not backing his boys.
Still on Saturday. Still on Saturday is the Gold Coast Suns versus North Melbourne at TIO Stadium. Now, this is in Darwin.
The Suns play well in the NT.
They do.
I'm going to go with the Suns.
Yeah, Suns all day for me.
Monty's also picking Suns and Travis also picking Suns. North not getting any love.
Just the one Sunday game. Oh, no, there's two.
There's two.
Collingwood versus the Eagles at Marvel.
That's an interesting one.
At Marvel.
Marvel is an away game. Yeah, Marvel is a really interesting one. I'm going the Pies.
That's obviously the Pies.
It's obviously the Pies. Yep. Monty's tipped the Pies and Travis tipped the Pies.
Yeah, you have to.
Eagles going through a few injuries right now, which is unfortunate. Jake Waterman's out with concussions, so that's big. And lastly,
we've got the Crows, Adelaide Crom versus the Brisbane Lions at Adelaide Oval. I'm taking the Crom.
I am going to take the Lions. I think the Lions, after that win, they're back on track. They're back on track.
Bit of personnel issues.
That's character building. They'll blood some kids and they'll play well. And I don't think Crom are there right now.
Fair enough.
Showdown. Crom's winning showdowns. They just do that. It's a misnomer. It's an outlier. And I think that'll
the boys,
do it.
Who do the boys have?
Oh, the boys have the Monty has the Lions.
Monty's got the Lions.
And Trav has got the Lions as well.
Oh, so I'm the lone man there.
The lone Crom. Why'd you have to go and make things so complicated? Yeah. Crom.
Love it.
You could have let it breathe a bit more and let Avril go a bit longer, but that's all right. And that will do it for the pod this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to all for following on the Instagrams, on the reviews that you've been giving on Spotify. If you haven't hit the 5 stars, please do so and give us a follow on all socials at Barely Touched Him. Have a lovely week.